Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest is the co-founder of the band who, over the last two decades, has become a holiday touring juggernaut, thrilling millions upon millions along the way. And over the years, he has become a great friend to the show. The band is Trans-Siberian Orchestra. His name is Al Pietrelli.
Al Pietrelli, how have you been, my friend?
God, I never get tired of them. Shut up. That's the most awesome thing, brother.
You guys, man, you just kicked this off, and I was already getting texts from somebody who was from Kansas City who has already seen this year's show and was immediately giving us reviews of it, which, by the way, were stellar.
Well, hopefully they were good reviews.
Yeah, they were great, man. Of course.
How you doing, my brother? How you been? How's the family?
I'm good. Everybody's good. It's gearing up for Thanksgiving, and then, of course, you guys signaled the beginning of the Christmas season, December 7th. And it's going to be a great show because I'm already getting murdered for tickets from people where I'm like, look, you're going to have to purchase your own tickets. It's just the way it is. It's people get so excited about TSO. I had this discussion with a friend the other day that they've gone to different shows and purposely put themselves in different places in the arena over the years so they can see it from a different perspective.
And it's a different show.
Yeah.
From all those different vantage points. It really is. I mean, you know, people don't have to worry about it if they can't get up close. I mean, the last row in the arena sometimes is the best seat ever.
That's what they were saying to me, that they loved it. They loved being in the very first part of the second balcony. It was their all-time favorite position.
Yeah. And especially this year, because what the crew put together visually, the whole thing has almost got this three-dimensional kind of look to it. So, like, really, don't worry about it. Sit back a little bit. You know, if you're up close, you're going to get, you know, a different kind of show. You're going to get to, you know, all the interaction of the band and all that. But a little further back, the whole the production comes to life. I mean, it's really the craziest thing I've ever seen, brother.
I love it. And we got to talk about this. And I got to spend more time checking it. You guys, you did a because it kind of went by in the news. I don't think we talked about it enough. You and Sabotage at Wacken Open Air Festival was side by side with Connecting Catwalks, and then you guys were performing at the same time, but the music and the lyrics were creating a cohesive narrative, they were calling it.
Exactly. It was the most terrifying 2 hours of my life.
Yeah. It does sound terrifying. It sounds crazy.
It was crazy because it was terrifying because, you know, as Paul's musical director, I was responsible for making sure everything went on without a hitch. And you have two stages, but there was a 40-foot divide between them with no sight line, and when both bands are playing simultaneously. And no sound check, no nothing. I mean, they put all our gear on a sea container and shipped it over to, you know, Europe, loaded it into this, like, field. It was like 40 degrees. It was pouring rain. They plugged everything in. Everybody said a Hail Mary. And 85,000 people were in the audience, and it went off perfectly. That's crazy. Exhaled so heavy in my life.
I bet.
The end of that show, dude, I was like, I need a McAllen's right now.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, that's an unforgiving crew. I mean, you talk about, you know, a festival. You know, when you get to Europe, they take their music so seriously. Like, if it's not great, they're going to let you know.
No. And if you go over great, they love you forever. But if one bad note, man, they're going to crucify you on that one. I'm like, So it was nerve-wracking, but again, it's a testament to Paul O'Neill. He'll come up with this insane idea, and we all look at him and go, oh, no. And he'll say, we can do this, and he's pushed this for what's going on 25 years now, always pushing the envelope, musically, visually, production-wise. Things that we never thought we could do, we've done because of him.
Well, and it doesn't stop just with TSO. Trans-Siberian Orchestra will be here in Kansas City, you know, doing Christmas Eve and other stories. 3 o'clock, 8 o'clock on the 7th of December. But you guys have done Night Castle, it's a Halloween deal, Beethoven's Last Night. And so you're always evolving, and it's not just about Christmas with you guys. This band is much bigger than that.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it started out, you know, because of the success of the Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 12/24, that kind of established us, and Paul wrote three records around that. You know, the three Christmas records. But there's a lot of non-holiday works that we've done, and we've toured in the spring, as you know. We've gone to Europe a bunch of times. You know, I'm just talking about going to different parts of the planet now. But my task at hand, brother, is just I want to make sure that, you know, opening night in Council Bluffs last week was a perfect first show.
Good.
By the time I come to see you, it might be my 30th show, but it would be the folks in Kansas City's first show, and I want that one to be a perfect first show. And in Chicago on December 30th, I want theirs to be a perfect first show. So I got 60 first shows I got to do. And on January 5th, I'm going to exhale and say, okay, what are we doing now?
People don't have any idea. Most bands will do two shows, one day off, or three shows, one day off. Not two shows a day, every day, straight through
every
the month.
Day.
And the singing, you know, the vocals that they're having to do, I mean, those are, you have got to be so healthy, so available, so you have to take such good care of yourself to be able to do that.
Yeah, everybody in the band is really aware of that. I mean, they take great care of themselves. Everybody's in great shape, and we rehearsed a lot. We must have did the show 40, 50 times before we did the first show, you know, in rehearsal. But, you know, the ones that I feel bad for are the guys on the crew. I mean, because, you know, at 6 a.m., they're going to roll into Kansas City and start unloading that thing, you know, for downbeat, for, you know, twice. And they're the ones that you've seen me a bunch of times, you know, I'll always tip my hat to them, because without them, we'd be dead in the water. You know, so not only did, you know, the designs and the visuals and all the things that they come up with, but they have to execute it every night. They had 30 days to build the set for the first show, 6 hours for every other one.
Oh, and I have friends who do a road crew, and everything from, you know, pyro to you know, sound and lighting. And there's nobody in the world that works harder, because you don't have a choice of like, well, we're going to try to get it done on time. You have no choice. No. It has to be done on time. There is no excuse acceptable. Everything must work. Everything must be on. It doesn't matter what your problem is. There's nothing. There's no try. It's only can-dos.
No, exactly. And it's, you just nailed it, because, you know, they love the show as much as you love the show, as much as I love the show. A lot of the guys on the crew have been with us, you know, for the better part of 15, 20 years. We've all grown up together. But remember, in 1999, we only had one box truck and two buses, you know, and then this year we got 22 tractor trailers and 12 buses. But it's been, you know, a very, like, long trajectory over the past 21 years of touring. So we all have kind of grown up with it. We know how this thing works. And the guys on the crew know every one of the nuts and bolts that took to build it. But let me tell you something, you know. Yeah, you know, I say my prayers every night, you know, no snowstorms, no rain, no nothing,
right.
No craziness. Let's just get in there and do our jobs. And, you know, it's been a perfect run for a long time.
You think about 22 tractor trailers. That would have been an incredible amount of trucks back in the old incandescent days. Now with LED, that's like 45 trucks in the old days.
Exactly. I mean, you know, these lights are like, you know, itty bitty. You know, it's all computer driven. It's amazing what they can do. But, you know, and listen, that was Paul. That's the O'Neill family. You know, whatever we did last year is awesome, but that one's in the books. We got to make it bigger this year. You know, never assume that it's, you know, we're going to have another great year. We have to earn it every year, just like a Super Bowl team. You put that ring on your finger, that's great. But now get back to work and do it again.
Yeah, and that really is the TSO show. Every year, I'll pick and find, like, things I've seen that are new. And I remember when you guys started doing projection mapping, which nobody does.
Nobody.
You know, Roger Waters does with the Pink Floyd, The Wall, when he was doing that. And he did it well, and you guys. Almost nobody else does real projection mapping, and that's such an intense thing to be able to pull off. And for those of you who don't know, it takes such an incredible amount of ability and programming, and it has to be perfect or it looks crazy. And you combine that with pyro and moving lights and the sound system and all the people on the stage and the fact that it's not a three-person, four-person band. You know, sometimes there's 15, 18 people on that stage considering all the singers, and it is perfectly executed every time.
I love hearing your voice and saying that, brother. I appreciate it, because, you know, you say it, I can hear the smile through the phone. And you tell them the truth. I mean, you know, I got 24 people, I counted, on stage at any given time between the band, the singers, the orchestra, the whole thing. And I got about 100 people underneath the stage.
Yeah.
You know, it's an incredibly detailed show, and we're going to execute it perfectly every time we hit the stage, because you guys deserve that, and I want to give that back to y'all.
Well, and one of the most charitable bands, we've mentioned this before, but just so you guys know, all these shows that you were talking about, these two-a-day shows, $1 from every ticket sold in every city goes to a local charity. Nobody has ever done that in the history of touring that I've ever heard of.
Well, again, I appreciate you saying that, but that's Paul O'Neill and his family, you know, his wife Desiree, his daughter Ivan, that's who they are. I mean, I think I told you once before, I've been friends with Paul since 1985, and we'd be kicking around New York City together. And I've never met a person in my life like this. Wait, every time I turn around, he'd reach into his pocket and grab a 5 or a 10 and hand it to a stranger. And I'd look at him and say, dude, what's up? And he goes, it's not going to change my life, but it may change this person's day.
That's right.
It kind of resonated with me. I was like, well, what a beautiful thought, you know, like just to be that selfless and maybe nudge this guy into a better day. Maybe if he has a better day, he'll have a better tomorrow. Maybe he'll have a good week. Who knows?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what, you know, Paul implemented with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's like, you know, a dollar a ticket doesn't sound like that much, but if you add that up over all the years and all the tickets sold, I mean, the O'Neill family has made a dent in the world in a positive way. I'm just proud to be part of it, proud to watch what they do.
Well, yeah, and when people come to see that show, we live in a weird world now, you know? There's a lot going on out there.
Truth.
And it's nice to turn it off. And you know what you're not going to hear? Anything political. You're going to hear family, love, friends, tradition. You know, all the things that really do matter, all the things that really resonate inside of us that make you feel your feels, my friend. If you're paying any attention at all to that show, I promise you, at some point, you're going to be choked up.
Yeah, you can't help it because the way that Paul wrote the story, everybody in the audience can insert their name and situation into Paul's work, and the entire show becomes about you and the audience or me on stage. You know, everybody misses somebody around the holidays, right?
Sure.
Everybody, you know, there's that empty chair at the dining room table that's so much more apparent, you know, like between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the thing is that nobody in the audience is alone in that sentiment. And you start to realize that as the show goes on, that everybody in there is crying a little bit because we all miss somebody.
Yeah. No, always, man. It's, that's just it. I mean, and it doesn't have to be blood relatives. I mean, you think about the friends that have moved on, friends that have passed on, yeah. People that are, you know, hell, man, where are all your kids right now? Where's your son? Where are they stationed at?
Well, I got one stationed at Pearl Harbor, and I got one stationed down in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, my middle son is a traveling musician. My two baby girls are home. You know, but, like, you know, Jeff Scott Soto, when he delivers a song, he's not a singer. He becomes the character in the story.
Right.
And when he sings the song Ornament, which is a song about a father pleading to the heavens for the safe return of his runaway teenage daughter, I lose it, Johnny, you know, because, like you just said, my baby boys are now on opposite sides of the planet defending our country. You know, I miss all my kids, but I can't help but make that song about me every so often. When I play that guitar solo, I'm just going to look up to the heavens and do the same cry for just, I want my babies home safe.
That's it. That's it. You know, listen, well, he's giving me the rap, but I'll see you here in a couple of weeks. We're going to head to New York for Thanksgiving, like we always do, and catch up with a bunch of friends and have some great moments. And then I'll be back to Kansas City the next weekend, and I'll be there at the show.
Well, I can't wait to put my arms around you. I love you and I miss you. And all my love and family, travel safe. And I'll see you in a couple weeks, brother. And it's going to be awesome.
Excellent. I love you, Al. Stay there, man. Do not miss the show. I mean, I can tell you and tell you, but it's go find somebody that you know and ask them what the show was about. I can tell you the Grand Canyon's big, and until you go there, you don't know. I can tell you a million things. But until you go, I cannot put into words how much your ass will get knocked off. It is not a metal show, but it is a metal show. It's not a family show, but it is a family show.
It's an experience.
It really is. And it doesn't feel goofy. It does. You know, when somebody goes family show, I'm like, yeah, great. I'm going to go see Disney on Ice. Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's really, and I'm telling you, like, it takes so much to get precise volume and sound the way they do it. It takes such an expensive rig to be able to lay that out into an arena like it is and have it sound amazing in every single position. You know, we've all been to shows where you're like, the band doesn't really sound good. These guys sound like a record. Like, and there's 18 people, 24 people singing at the same time. One person's out of key, you hear it. Not to mention, in fact, it's the biggest lighting rig I've ever seen in my entire life. No band, no Maiden, no Zombie, nobody has ever, no Metallica has ever brought out a bigger rig than these guys. There's more pyro, more lasers, more fire, more snow, more hazing, more, I mean...
Yeah, more spectacle than you would ever get at a regular
show. There's a reason.
And you will, if you care about anybody on this planet, you will feel your feels.
Yeah, it's terrible about that. That's why you won't go.
I go with.
No, you don't. I know you. You turn your ears off because you don't like... She always likes to... act like she's such a badass, but she doesn't like to feel the feels.
I just let him experience the show, and I go up top and I get another, you know,
someone's
drink in
not
case
cool with their feelings. Someone could
thirsty.
Do with a little therapy, couldn't they?
No, I think I've made it really well through life so far with the way I've built this house.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.